Now to what's on my heart tonight. Psalm chapter 142. And we're studying in Psalms on Wednesday nights. But seeing as we have 150-something Psalms and only 52 Wednesday nights, three of them are taken up by revival, one will be taken up by Bible school. So we'll get down by the time we whittle down Wednesday nights. We'll get down to about 45. So it'll be 3 years from now that we get to this Psalm. And by then you will have forgotten what I preached about. So that's the reason I'm skipping ahead to this psalm tonight. Psalm chapter 142. Where do we turn? Where do we turn? When things get crazy, whenever we no longer feel safe, whenever we get anxious, whenever we get stressed, whenever we get worried, whenever things begin to pile up, whenever things begin to go awry. I don't remember if I read it somewhere or saw it somewhere, but I thought that it made an awful lot of sense. It was a boxing coach giving his boxer or whatever some advice. And he said, "You got a plan?" He said, "Yeah." "You got a plan?" "Yeah." "Are you sure you got a plan?" He said, "Yeah." He come back after the first round and he sat down. He said, "I thought you had a plan." He said, "I did." And then he hit me. No plan survives the first punch. No battle plan survives the first gunshot. So many times we'll have a plan and we'll think that we're rooted and we're grounded and I'm right here. We'll be just like the disciples. "God, I'm never going to turn loose. God, I'm never going to let you go. Jesus, I will die with you." And then the next evening, they're nowhere to be found. That's the way the majority of people are today, and I'm that way too. And chances are, if you're honest with yourself, you got a little bit of that in you too. And the thing about it is I don't want you to misunderstand me, because you may misunderstand this statement. It's okay to doubt God. It's okay to doubt God. But we have to come back from that. Because in my life, I have doubted God. But if we don't come back from it, then it becomes a problem. If we never recover from it, if we never get to the point that, "God, I'm sorry I doubted you. God, I'm sorry that I didn't see you as big as you are. God, I'm sorry that I didn't think you could take this, that I didn't think that you were in control of this." If we never come to that point of repentance, then we're never okay again. We're never going to get back to the point that we ought to be. God is in control. God has it. God can handle it. We just have to turn to Him. God is only hindered by our faith, not by His power. Amen. Psalm chapter 142. If you're able, let's stand for the reading of God's Word tonight. Psalm chapter 142, verse number 1. David said, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him, and I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, behold, there was no man that could know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. And I cried unto Thee, O Lord, I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteousness shall compass me, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me." Heavenly Father, we thank You for allowing us to come and gather at Your house again tonight. God, we thank You for all that You've done for us, Lord. You've been so good to us. Help us, God, that we could love You more, that we could trust You more. God, that whenever things in our life come our way that we don't understand, that we can't, God, the things that overpower us, things that overwhelm us, God, that we wouldn't turn to ourselves, that we wouldn't turn to the world, God, that we could turn to You. Help us that we could, God, that we could solidify our foundation in that tonight. Lord, above all, we ask Your mercy on those who may be lost among us tonight. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody ever fought a giant? Anybody ever wrestled a bear? Anybody ever wrestled a lion? Anybody ever had a king seek for their head? our president, you know, we're in America. We don't know at what point in time in David's life he wrote this. But David was at a place that he was turning to everywhere but God. He said, I cried unto the Lord and I poured out my complaint before him. And he said, I looked on my right hand in verse 4 and there was no one and refuge failed me and no man cared for my soul. Now let's read this the way that we say this. Let's put this in 21st century terms. I have a problem. Here's what I'm going to say.
I looked for my friends and they weren't there. And then I looked for my church and they weren't there. And then I looked for my mom and daddy and they didn't want to have nothing to do with it. And then I went to the place that I was always safe and it burned down.
We throw a pity party. I say, well, y'all throw a pity party. I don't throw pity, but we all throw pity parties. Whenever we begin to look at things that are just overwhelming us, things that just ain't fair. Y'all have heard of the man, he was having a terrible day. And he went to a restaurant and sat down. And a man come sat down beside him and kind of bumped him, a big old bully type. Y'all know the type, man. He picked up his drink and drank it all down. The man started screaming, just bawling. He said, everything that I've ever had has gone wrong. He said, my wife ran off and left me, took the kids with her. I got into work late and my boss fired me. I tried to come back home and whenever I got back home, it was gone. The fire had taken it. So he said, the only thing I had left was my truck. So I got in my truck and I got halfway here and it broke down. As soon as I got out of the truck and started walking, it started to rain. And he said, by the time I got here, I bore a hole in one of my shoes. He said, I finally got here and I come here to end my life and you drank my poison. A lot of times we can be that way. Whenever the world begins to overwhelm us, we look at everything but how God has been so good to us. Because the poor man looks at the rich man and says, oh, look what he has. I want that. And the rich man looks at the poor man surrounded by his friends and family, happy and smiling. And he looks at the poor man and says, I want that. It's human nature to not be satisfied with what we have. It's flesh. And God said to be content with what we have, to be content. That godliness with contentment is great gain. And the Bible, especially in the New Testament, says that over and over again. But it's our nature not to be. So how do we define nature? How do we get past and get over that which we are naturally predisposed to? It's only by the help of God. And so David began to face things in his life. And he said, my spirit was overwhelmed within me. His people are laying traps for me. I cried unto the Lord, thou art my refuge and my portion, the land of the living. The first place that he turned to, and not necessarily David, but the first place that we turn to whenever things start going our way, is we'll find us a good comfortable spot to sit down, and we'll put our hands and our head and our hands, and we'll just sit here on this wall. And sometimes we need to cry. Right? Sometimes you need to cry. Sometimes that's part of getting past. But if you sit there and we just waller in how pitiful I am, and we think nobody can relate to me, nobody has been through what I've been through, nobody has seen what I've seen, nobody has had as bad a day as I've had. Okay? Nobody. It's at that moment, as we are drowning in our own self-pity, that we have taken our eyes off of how good God has been to us. What day was that? Wednesday? Tuesday? Thursday. Thursday, me and my brother were working down in Robert. And it was raining Thursday. Raining all day Thursday. We were working outside trying to get some air conditioners put in. And about the time it started raining, it didn't rain down there. And if y'all know anything about Robert, it don't drain. There's water everywhere. Everywhere. You can't walk without water coming up to your boots. So as soon as we got there, I beat him there and I got to work. And it was drizzling rain, but it wasn't enough to get you wet. So we started hurrying up and trying to do everything that we had to do outside. And then we were going to go inside like a bunch of knuckleheads. Well, then it started raining. And when I say raining, it was raining. We're working right in front of this big pond, lake looking thing. And you could hear the water hitting the lake. That's how heavy and big the drops was. It started pouring rain. I mean pouring. And the wind was howling. I mean, it was blowing. These houses were 20 by 30s. And it was blowing water in one window and out the other. That's how hard the wind was blowing. It was whooping through there. And where the air conditioners were, where are your air conditioners at your house? They're under the eave of the house, right? They didn't have gutters. So we're sitting there unhooking the air conditioners. And I mean, it's water pouring off of there. I'm squishing around. There ain't a stitch of clothes on me nowhere that's wet. I get inside the house and I take one of my boots off and I dump a half a gallon out of it. And I take my other boot off and dump a half a gallon out of it. And then I realized I had two screws in the bottom of this boot and I had a hole in the bottom of this boot. I said, well, these ain't doing me no good today. And then I started looking at everybody else. And the man in the first cabin, he was sitting up in there just kind of propped up. He'd been piddling with sheetrock all morning. He wasn't wet. The guy in the middle cabin, it was him and his wife, and they were in there working on tearing out insulation. They weren't wet. They'd come inside before they got wet. And then I looked at the man at the third cabin, and him and his wife were sitting in the truck. They never got out. They said, we ain't getting out in this mess. Obviously, they looked at the radar. They knew it was going to pass in just a few minutes. We all know how these kind of winter storms are. That rain was, you know, roughly 2 degrees above freezing. It was cold. And as I sit there, shivering, cold, shaking, had chill bumps all over me. Every stitch of clothing was wet. You know the problem with that situation? I was looking at how terrible I had it and how good everybody else had it. But it was only a matter of perspective. Because I couldn't see what that family was going through. I couldn't see what that man was sitting there thinking about. I couldn't see how this man and his wife was arguing and throwing a fit in the truck. I couldn't see that none of them attended church. I couldn't see that none of them knew Jesus. All I could see was, golly, they have it better than me. It's easy whenever we get to looking at ourselves and looking at our circumstances. We get our eyes off of God. We get our eyes off of what God has done for us. We get our eyes off of everything to do with Him. And we get it on our circumstances. And we get it on, oh, poor, pitiful me. And we start playing at that world's smallest violin because it's just an awful thing, the situation we're in. The thing about it was, is I could go home and get dry and I could erase everything that had happened. Emily got me a boot dryer for Christmas, so when I got home, I set it up on the dining room table, and I put my boots on it, and they commenced to dry out. And I got to the laundry room, and I threw my clothes in a washing machine, and I washed them and dried them, and in 2 hours, they were back good as new. I hopped in the shower, warm shower, got out, dried off, put my clothes on, good as new, like nothing ever happened. But those six individuals that I was absolutely sure had it better than me, if they didn't listen to what I tried to tell them, if they don't listen to people that try to reach out and tell them about Jesus Christ, they're going to die and lift their eyes in a devil's hell. No matter how tough of a day we may be having or how tough our circumstances are, there are people that has it much, much worse. Much worse than us. There are people that are suffering much, much worse than we are. Worse than that, there are people that are a whole lot further away from God than we are. And I say that as absolutely humbly as I can. I'm not where I need to be, but there's people that's a whole lot further away from me. And we'll look at them and we'll say, oh, they got it good. They got it great. They're took care of. And we'll turn to self-pity to try to solve our problems. And that ain't going to do it. Another place that we'll turn to is a false sense of security. We'll look around. I looked on my right hand and there was no man. My refuge failed me. I used to keep my doors locked all the time. All the time. And then I realized exactly how easy it is to get in whenever you're not supposed to get in. We locked our keys at mobile home we were living in for a couple of years. We locked our keys in there over and over again. A credit card, a pocket knife, a screwdriver get you into nearby any mobile home. It was beyond unsecure. Beyond. It was awful. It was crazy. Then we moved into that little house behind where we're living now. And it was, hey, it had a door. That thing was an inch and three quarters thick, solid pine. You could kick and kick and kick. It had iron bolts on the inside and the out. You wasn't getting out of there. There ain't a window in that house that has a latch on it. Not a single one. We'll lock our doors and we'll think we're safe and we're secure. And Satan can still get in. And evil can still get in. And bad can still get in. And we'll say, oh, I'm good. And we'll turn and we'll lock that door. I'm not saying that locks on doors ain't good. Every time we go to sleep, we lock them doors. Every single one of them without fail. But that's not where our security comes from. The lock on that door ain't where our peace of mind comes from. We have four different security systems. But that ain't where our security comes from. It takes pictures and it alarms whenever Bailey goes into the living room and wakes the whole world up. But that's not where our security comes from. That's not where our peace comes from. It can't be. If our peace came from anything that man created, anything that man built, anything that is man-made, then it's not reliable and it's not permanent. Something that absolutely blew my mind was the night that our house burned. And some of you were there. We were sitting outside watching, and we were just sitting there watching the firefighters, and they were getting after it. And there was a fuse in the transformer. It never blew. So as the breaker panel melted on the outside of the house, you saw green fire. That was electricity, live electricity, just, you know, following the water everywhere that it went. The fuse never blew. The 200-amp main in my generator transfer switch never blew. And something that amazed me was that the fire alarms never went off. An hour after the fire department got there, we were standing outside, and I think Brother Randy may have been there. Then we heard the fire alarms. An hour after the fire department got there, we heard the fire alarms started to go off. Until then, they never went off. If we put our faith and our trust in the things that are man-made, they are bound to disappoint us. David said, I looked to the left, I looked to the right, I searched, I went to my place of refuge, I went to my safe place, I went to my happy place, and that was not good enough. God is our refuge. God is our portion. God is the only one. Our safety, our strength, our power, our wisdom, our knowledge, our guidance, our life does not come from this world. It comes from God. Every inch of it, every inkling of it, every breath that we take, every heartbeat that our heart pumps blood through our body, it's all from God. It's all by the grace of God. It's all by the mercy of God. And if He chooses to end our life, we're gone. We're done. No amount of security can do it. And I've heard them say all of my life that if you're sitting there in the hospital, and if this happens to you, and I think it was some kind of aneurysm, they said, if this happens to you, you can be laying on the operating table and there's nothing anybody can do for you. There are machines they can hook people up to in the hospital that will keep their body alive indefinitely. It'll keep all of their organs working. It'll keep everything functioning, and they can be there forever, indefinitely. But if God is taking that person's soul, if God has taken that person's life, they may be breathing, but they no longer have the breath of life. Whenever God says it's over, it's over. When God says it's done, it's done. It's finished. God is our sense of security. God is the one that we turn to. We can't do it ourselves. We can't change it ourselves. And no matter how much we may boo-hoo about it, it ain't going to make it no better. When y'all got whoopings as kids, did crying make it feel better? Some of you are flashing back. I know your mama's whooped you in a circle just like mine did. She'd grab a hold of you, she'd just whoop you all the way around in a circle. Did crying make you feel better? No, it don't. Crying is it's a response to pain. It don't make it feel better. Being sorry don't make it feel better. Being upset don't make it feel better. And a lot of times, my brother was the world's worst about it. He was awful. He was absolutely terrible. But being the youngest, he never got whooped ever. We got the whoopings for him. Mama would come into the room and he would start crying on demand, just like that. And she'd say, "What happened?" He would never say a word. He would just cry and point to one of us. It was over. Done. We can feel sorry all that we want. We can cry all that we want. We can boo-hoo all that we want. Feeling sorry for ourselves has never done. It's never gotten anyone out of trouble. The only way forward is through. The only way through is forward. God's going to send things in our life that we don't like. God is going to send us days that we aren't particularly happy about. But there was a man, I hadn't run into him in a long time. He used to work down in the Bogalusa area. And whenever we would do jobs and he was on that job site, he was always singing some sort of old gospel song. "Roll is called up yonder, I'll fly away, standing on the promises." It was always an old gospel song. And he was a painter. He came behind the sheetrock guys. And hey, when this dude got to singing in a house that was nothing but sheetrock and concrete floors, it carried. Some of you was in here before the carpet and the chairs and all that. And you couldn't whisper and have a conversation because those in the back could hear you. That's the way his voice carried through that house. And the whole time we're sitting there listening, is, man, I wish my job was as easy as his. Man, I need to go into the paint. It must be easy for him to sit there and just sing all day. His job was not easy. His job was hard. Any of you that's ever tried painting, you know they go through as much headache as anybody. The man had something different. He had that joy unspeakable. The longer he served God, the sweeter he grew. It was true for him. And if whenever things come our way, David said in verse 6, "Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." Our persecutors, our bad days, they're stronger than we are, but they are not stronger than God. They can overwhelm us, but they can't overwhelm God. "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me, for thou hast dealt bountifully with me." I want to dwell on these last two sentences real quick. Do you feel better when you go to church? You feel better when you go to church? Because if going to church is just going to church, then we need to talk. You're supposed to feel better when you go to church. You're supposed to. Miss Marietta was right. Whenever me and Emily came up here Friday and we was practicing some songs, we practiced some songs that was kind of upbeat songs. And it's easy to sing whenever you love God. It's easy to sing when you love what you're singing. It's easy to sing whenever there's nobody watching. That's part of it. It's easy to cut loose. And I used to sit by the dining room window and I would listen to my mama play the piano for hours inside our house after we got home from school. And I would sit outside. She would never do it if she knew somebody was home. And she would sit in there and she would cut loose. I mean, she would play. But she didn't do it in church because people said, "That's not how you do it. That's not how you do it." I'm sure you've heard that beforehand. That's not how you do it. Whenever God shows up in our life, whenever we see him the way that we ought to see him, whenever he delivers our soul out of prison and we begin to praise his name, that looks different than just standing up and, "I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I..." There's a difference in praising God and humming along, ain't there? There's a difference in being filled with the Spirit and being present in church. There's a difference in turning to God with our problems, living for God in spite of our problems. That's the place we need to be at. If we get ourselves to that place, whenever we're thrown against the wall, we'll stick. That makes sense? If we get to the place that instead of turning to "oh, woe is me," instead of turning to some sort of sense of security that is man-made, some sort of solution that is man-made, some sort of instead of turning to anything. If we turn to God, and if we can get to the place in our life that with everything we can turn to God, He will show up, He will show out, and He will change our life forever. And I hope that we can all see Him greater. We can see Him bigger. We can see Him more, and we can serve Him more. Well, we have a verse of a song.